Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're being reminded about God's desire to be involved in the lives of people. The message is called The Lord of Hosts, God of Jacob, so let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 46 as we go back to basics.
The Lord of Hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The words of our text reveal something so marvelous that men, for the most part, have considered such a thing impossible. Men have considered it impossible that the infinite, Almighty Creator of the universe could be personally known and experienced by men. But this is really the essence of the biblical revelation. And this is what sets the Christian faith apart from every other religion in the world. No other religion teaches that God can be known and experienced on a personal level. This is unique to Christianity. If you talk to the multitudes of Muslims in the world today, and the moment you would suggest or begin to talk about the idea of personally knowing and experiencing Allah, this just would not register with them. It's not within the realm of possibility. And so it's true across the board with the religions. Those who hold to a sort of a deistic view of God, or even to some degree a theistic God, believing, in other words, that there is a God, but yet he's so far removed, he's just completely inaccessible to us, especially any of us on a personal, individual level. But this is the very message of Scripture. And this is really what is being communicated in these two titles that we see put together here in this psalm, the Lord of Hosts and the God of Jacob. The Lord of Hosts, this term for God appears many times over in Scripture. And it refers to, really, primarily, it's a way of describing God's sovereignty, His rule, His dominion over all of creation. Passages speak specifically of His rule over the heavens. And so in those passages, the host of heaven is a reference to the planets and the stars. And then there are times when the host is referring to the multitude of angelic beings. There are times when the host is referring to the masses of men. So the idea that's being communicated with the term, the Lord of Hosts, it's really looking at God's greatness, looking at His majesty, looking at His sovereign rule over this vast, vast universe. A universe that is so vast that scientists have almost given up on really being able to discover how large the universe is. You know, as the years have gone by, there have been estimations that have been given, and they continue to increase as time goes on. I remember a few years ago, they were saying that there were estimated 200 billion stars in our galaxy, and perhaps 200 billion other galaxies. Now, that number has moved up to 400 billion. So this is mind-boggling, to say the least. To say that God is incomprehensible to the human mind is really an understatement. I always marvel at the scientific community and the, you know, those especially who are atheistic in their outlook, and those who are often speaking out against the existence of a God and so forth. And you just think, you know, I mean, can you imagine what that looks like from God's standpoint? This little thing that's even, you know, you would need like a neutron microscope to see this little creature spouting off pridefully about there being no God and so forth. You know, it's humorous, really, when you begin to think of it. But what is being communicated here in this title is God's greatness in that sense of his dominion over this vast universe. And when you just for a moment begin to slightly get your head around that, it does seem a little bit strange to think that God would be concerned about us. And not just us in a collective sense, but he would be concerned about us on a personal level, an individual level. But that's exactly what the second term communicates to us. The Lord of hosts, the ruler, the creator, the sovereign over this vast universe, the Lord of hosts is also the God of Jacob. He's also the God of Jacob. Now, who was Jacob? Well, from a certain point of view, Jacob was just a seemingly insignificant soul. He was a man who lived in a small country, a narrow strip of land. He dwelt in a tent, not in a palace. He was every bit as weak and as fearful and as sinful as any other person, but he was someone that God cared about. He was someone that God loved. He was someone that God entered into a covenant with, entered into a personal, intimate, tender relationship. And when we look at this term, the God of Jacob, what that means to us today is that same kind of relationship is a possibility today. It's available to us today. When we read in the scriptures about these men and women that enjoyed intimate relations with the Lord, that had these profound experiences with God, I think sometimes our tendency is to look back on that and think, oh, how good it would have been to have been that person, or how nice it would have been to have lived back then when God was working in such obvious ways. And yet the reality is, we today have that same possibility. We have the same possibility today that they had. And the story of the past is the prophecy of the future. And what God has been to any man or woman, any person in past history, in biblical history, what he's been to them back then, he will be to us today if we will simply allow him to be. And this is what the Lord wants us to realize. He wants us to know that yes, he is indeed the sovereign over all the universe. Yes, indeed, all things consist. They're all held together by him, but that doesn't take up all of his time and energy. He's not too busy to listen to our cry. He's not so distant as to not be able to draw near to us and meet us in very personal ways. I love to hear the stories that I often get to hear about how God has met people in very intimate ways, very personal ways. And it's really amazing when you think about it, that this God, his desire is with men. His desire is to be among us and to commune with us and to be in relationship. I mean, you know, think about how astounding that is, especially when you think that there are people in the world who have such an elevated view of themselves that they find it difficult to associate with their fellow human beings. You know, have you ever had the experience, it's the unpleasant experience of being shunned or looked down upon by another person, or having somebody else consider you maybe below them? They wouldn't, you know, dare associate with you, or they wouldn't want anybody to know that they knew you personally or something like that. You know, people do that, don't they? And those on the receiving end of that, it is a very unpleasant feeling. You know, you might come up to somebody, "Hey, how you doing? Remember me?" "No." "Oh, well, we grew up together." No, we didn't. You're mistaken. You got somebody else." And, you know, I don't know this person. I don't, you know, those kinds of experiences are unpleasant, to say the least. But here's the amazing thing. You might find that among people, but you won't find that with the Lord. He delights to associate with just anybody. And although you might be just another face in the crowd, although to people around you, you might seem insignificant, and you might have been shunned, and you might even feel that you're overlooked and uncared for, and maybe even unloved, well, there's one who loves you. There's one who hasn't overlooked you. There's one who does care about you. There's one who wants to have associations with you, and that is the Lord of hosts, who is also the God of Jacob. What a beautiful thing. Now, again, this is a hard thing for us to get our heads around. David himself, who wrote this psalm and most of the others, David struggled with that. He wrote in the 8th psalm, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him?" And we can relate to that, can't we? When you begin to get a glimpse of the greatness of God, the majesty of God, it's easy then to start to ask that kind of question. "Lord, what is man that you would be mindful of him? Lord, how could you really be concerned about somebody like me?" Yet he is. And Jesus went out of his way to communicate that to us. He said things like this. He said that the very hairs on our head are all numbered. This is how interested God is in you. He's numbered the hairs on your head. And of course, this is a way of communicating that God is, he is so interested in us that he knows the intimate details of our life. So even if you're bald, God still knows everything about you. You don't have to worry about that. So we could just translate it instead of the hairs on your head. He knows all of the cells in your body. Like we read last week and studied in the 139th Psalm. He knows, he even knows our thoughts before we think them. Before I can even form a word on my tongue, he knows it. He knows what I'm going to say. This is how intimately involved God is in our lives. So what I want to say is, knowing that the Lord of hosts is also the God of Jacob, we ourselves today, we need to just lay hold of that reality that, you know, I can know this God. I can have experiences with this God. I can expect, because of the stories from the past that I read about here in the scripture, I can expect that God is going to do similar kinds of things in my life as he did in their lives. That's why we have the biblical record. That's one reason why we have it. Paul tells us that in the closing chapters of Romans. He says, the things that were written before, speaking of what we call the Old Testament, the things that were written before were written for our learning, so that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So these things were written to teach us about how God works in people's lives, how this great sovereign king of the universe is also interested in the simplest people. The smallest, most insignificant human being is not insignificant to the Lord. You know, the other day I was just spending some time in prayer, and I try once a week to just pray around the whole globe and pray specifically for the church and for God's, you know, work in the world. And as I got over to the area of India, just in my mind, you know, as I was praying, I think I know about a half a dozen people who are living in India. I know them personally. And I was thinking, okay, there's, you know, almost a billion people there. And I'm thinking about, you know, maybe six people. And I, just in my mind, I was visualizing that great mass of 1 billion people and, you know, these six people scattered, you know, somewhere in the midst of that. And it just, I just thought for a second, Lord, do you know who I'm talking about? I mean, you know, I know, you know, this is a very small, and you know, even as I thought that, as quick as that thought came into my head, this thought came back in response. The Lord of hosts is the God of Jacob. It's like the Lord was reminding me, Brian, I know these, I know them. Don't worry about it. You just, you know, it's okay. I know it's a small number, but there's more than you realize, and I'm aware of all of that. And I'm working in their lives. And this is what the Lord wants to remind us of today. That he wants to do a work in our lives. Again, no matter how the world might see us, or how we even might see ourselves. Many people look at themselves and just say, well, how could God, you know, I have a hard time understanding how God could even love me, or how God could want a relationship with me. But then also, you know, how is it that God would want to use me? Who am I? Well, who was Jacob? We could say that about anybody in the scripture. You know, we look at these great men, and we look at Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and we look at Moses and, you know, all of these different people that we look at, and we think of them as great. But really, their greatness was connected to their relationship with God. Apart from that, they would have just been another face in the crowd. We look at men today and women today that God's using. And then somebody suggests, well, maybe God might want to use you. And our immediate thought is, oh, well, how could the Lord ever use me? Who am I? I'm not like so-and-so, or no, I'm not like that person. But who is that person, and why are they the way they are? It's because of God. And the story of the past is the prophecy of the future. What God did in their lives, he might very well do something just like that in your life. I think of probably, you know, one of the greatest examples of modern times of a person who has been used in an extraordinary fashion by the Lord would, I think, of course, hands down, it would have to be Billy Graham. You know, a man who has literally preached to more people in history than anybody else, and probably almost everybody else combined. And yet, knowing about his life story and knowing about, you know, his conversion experience at 18 years old, attending this little tent meeting that came through his small town there. And, you know, back at the time, who would have ever dreamed? Who would have ever thought? I don't think there was a single person that was, you know, looking at him and saying, I see in this young man, he's going to reach the world. He's going to preach to more people in history than any other human being has done up to this point. I don't think a single person was thinking that. The night that Billy Graham responded to an invitation to receive Christ into his own life, he was just another young person in the crowd. But God had a plan, and God took him and chose him and used him. And, you know, maybe you've thought, you've had these wild thoughts like, wow, maybe I could be used by God. And then as quick as you think that, oh, no, no, who are you? You're insignificant. You're nobody. How could you think that God would use you? Well, this is just what God does. This is what he does. Because the Lord of hosts, the sovereign ruler of the universe, he's also the God of Jacob. And so whether it be using us in service to him, or whether it be watching over us and taking care of us and guiding our lives and blessing our lives, because he is the God of Jacob, and because the story of the past is the prophecy of the future, we can just rest in that as a reality. This is a reality. This God who created all things, this God who sustains all things, this God who is working all things according to the counsel of his will, this God who is orchestrating the course of history. You look at the nations of the world, and you look at the direction and the flow of the nations, and as people who know and understand the Bible, we look on in amazement as we see how the plan is unfolding just the way God said it would. We're not taken by surprise by the things that are going on in the world, because all of it is just working right into the very thing that God declared beforehand would happen. This is God's sovereignty over the world.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Brodersen. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures, but if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called The Lord of Hosts, God of Jacob, and the resource number is OBB540. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.